Let's jump right to it. Auburn beats South Carolina in their first game in the quarterfinals of the SEC Basketball Championship, 86-55 by 31 points. Guys, this is the Auburn Daily Podcast. I want to thank you all for tuning in. And appreciate the patience. We've been really getting the content rolling on YouTube. Haven't been as consistent with getting on the audio. So, guys, that's my resolution. We're going to get better about making sure we get the audio stuff on here. And just for that, this is going to be an audio-only episode. Andrew and I did a YouTube episode of the game review, but this will be a little bit more in-depth, a little bit more thought-out, prepared. That was like kind of the knee-jerk, instant reaction. We were still kind of processing everything. But right now, we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into it. So, this was just a matchup that was just doomed from the start. That was not good for South Carolina. We saw this the first time that they played each other in Auburn. Auburn wins that game by 40. South Carolina felt pretty confident, if you remember their interview last night, that Auburn would not be able to do such a thing to them away from home. And while they didn't win by 30, just a measly 31 points. So just the style that the South Carolina team plays ball has been good and tough to deal with from other teams, but just the way that Auburn style plays, it's just not a good matchup. And that's not to say South Carolina is a really bad team. They technically have a better record than Auburn overall, but sometimes it's just how the pieces slide together. Like I said, this is not one that did well for South Carolina. Jumping right out of the gate here, taking a glance, just a glance at the stat sheet. Well, what do you see that just really grabs your eye right here? 3 points. Auburn 9 for 19, which is about 47.5% from deep. That is going to be a difference maker no matter what. You shoot that high with that decent of volume, it's going to mean good things. And let's be real here. Auburn did very well. Not only with that, but it was a good shot selection. They didn't take shots they didn't need to. Auburn controlled the pace very well. When they needed to, they would drain the shot clock. They would run pace. And that back and forth just never allowed South Carolina to get any sort of rhythm right out of the gate. And Auburn just controlled the tempo of this game. And you saw it for just how it was just a slow chip away. And it never really felt like Auburn went on any runs, per se. It was just kind of death by 1,000 paper cuts the entirety of the game, which ended up being 31 points. The inverse of that, South Carolina sitting 3 for 12 from deep, 25% from 3. Obviously, this was going to be a game they were going to have to shoot the way out of. Did not go well for them. Now, rebounding teams were about the same. It was 40 and 42 with Auburn. A hair above them on rebounds. Just two more. And then, let's see here, the block category, Auburn had 8, they had 4. And I will say this, the refs let the guys play. Both sides, I say, was a pretty evenly officiated game. There's definitely some stuff that both teams got away with on a little bit of the side of physicality. But overall, the tempo of the game was just not ruined by just the refs being whistle-happy. And we've seen that in some games. And it's definitely something that is a hot debate amongst college basketball right now, just how it's not really great for the sport overall. And I say this one was pretty good. They let guys play. They kind of let guys play through both stuff. But what is most important for me in that is just when it's even. I think Auburn got away with some little bit being a little bit more physical as did South Carolina, and it just allows the tempo to play out how it did. And then, you know, I'd say they still called a fair amount of fouls as well. Auburn had 21. They had 16, so a little bit more on Auburn. But generally speaking, it wasn't drastically different. Didn't make a huge difference in this huge difference in the game. Neither team really shot fantastically from free throws. Auburn was marginally worse, 9 for 17, and they were 20 of 28. Now, shooting 9 from 17 of free throws is not going to be something that they're going to get that up in the high 70s, around 80%, if they can, because that's going to make a huge difference when it's going to start to count in these late SEC tournament games and, of course, the NCAA tournament. And then Cardwell, 1 for 4. That stings a little bit. KD missed one, uncharacteristic of him. And then Denver, also uncharacteristic of him. So just something that they've got to just tune up on when they get to the line, because when these games are going to matter, you're going to need to get those free points. So that's probably the biggest takeaway that I would say was not the best that the team did. You could say the shooting from the field was, you know, something to be left desirable. Definitely the free throws is something that I'm going to kind of circle here as being a an interesting point. Jahni Broome with a double-double, he's just continually a factor. Doesn't matter who against, doesn't matter the matchups. It's he is there and everywhere. 18 points, 10 rebounds, like I said, double-double. He was all over the place, just a matchup nightmare for South Carolina. And here's a matchup nightmare for almost everybody he plays against, but it was just when he would get the ball down to the paint, you could see he had a level of confidence about him when he would drive to the goal, and they really didn't have any answer for that. When he wanted to get the bucket, he could. He also had three assists, so if he didn't want it, he'd toss it off somebody else who'd grab one as well. 18 assists for the night, pretty spread out, well amongst everybody. Like to see Trey get four. Now, Trey had 5 points tonight, but it felt like more. You felt like he saw a bit more of an impact. You know, Trey kind of loves showing up a little bit more in the postseason. So he had two nice jump shots in there he had a really nice jump shot, and he had a really nice three that solidified those points. And was still a menace on defense. Of course, like I said, the assist earlier. Aiden, he it showed up a little bit more late. I'd say he was very smart with the ball. Didn't try to do too much. I think he was very aware of the shot clock, managing the clock overall for just kind of keeping control of the flow of the game. Of course, like to see a little bit more points come out of him as, you know, we go further into postseason deal. But overall, I'd say the deal with Aiden and Trey, and I mean, this is what do you always hear? The postseason March Madness, it all comes down to the guards. So not saying that they play poorly, but I mean, it needs to be a trend word up where they need to take this stuff and be better every single game. And if you see that out of them, Auburn has all the ingredients to make a run here. With that being said, you keep that consistency out of Broome. And the funny part of tonight is even playing 20 minutes, didn't see a whole lot out of Jalen Williams. Fairly quiet night. Now, he did get a lot of rebounds, so he was all over the place there. Was definitely a factor defensively for sure, about keeping them very uncomfortable under the goal. Only 3 points. So, with that being said, Auburn does this, and it's not the Jahni Broome show. That just means Auburn, one of their biggest tools, is still just left. One of the biggest weapons of the arsenal, not even touched tonight. Which is crazy to think that if Jahni just decided he wanted to go off, he'd score over 100 points. Now, the inverse of that, you're liking what you're seeing out of Chaney Johnson. We've been talking about it. It would take him a little bit of time to adjust. The athleticism, you heard it from different folks who cover the team. Of course, you heard Bruce Pearl say it. But Chaney gets 11 points tonight. Also kind of all over the place, did a little bit of everything. And you're starting to see more and more flashes out of him. And I think not only is that good for the postseason for this season, but it bodes well for the future, assuming he's going to be the heir to fill in Jalen's shoes. So they both split minutes fairly even, about 18 and 20 respectively. He had a, like I said, a good, very well-balanced night. Excuse me. So Denver, 7 points. He was open, and they were trying to get them the ball. It didn't seem like it was happening as much as it needed to. You could see him kind of signaling for it, come here, and just, I don't know if that was South Carolina baiting him. They had other things that looked, I don't know, I can't break the film. That'd be a Bruce Pearl question. I just have a gut feeling that is going to be something that they go to pull pretty soon here. I think we're going to start seeing more of that because he's shooting at a high clip. He is staying very efficient for it, and he's starting to get that three ball to drop how he likes it, and that was really what he was known for and what he did prior to his time at Auburn, because you get 1,000 career points, you're obviously a pretty good shooter. So CBM doing CBM things. KD had a sneaky good night, and let's be honest, okay, let's just not, we don't have to get into everybody, really had a good night, did what they needed to do. It was a well-balanced team win. As I said, South Carolina had no answer, and at no point in this game did Auburn fall in a slump and let them get out of it, which is just really what you got to do to win these games in the postseason. And is it safe to say that Auburn is heating up at the right time? Yeah, I would say since that Kentucky game, there was a spark lit off. And, I mean, that was a tough one there. I mean, Auburn lost. They just – I mean, it just felt like they were walking around with sand in their shoes that Kentucky game. And they were a little nervous about how they were getting the season, even with the Tennessee game coming up. And they had the opponents they should beat, but would you let another team kind of get one over on you there? And like I said, they lost to Tennessee, I'd still say they played very, very well overall. Just what can you do when Dalton Kinnick just wakes up and decides he wants to drop 40 and just not miss a shot, especially when he's taking 40-foot-plus threes. So, and then what did we see happen with Tennessee? When he isn't doing that, they become very vulnerable, and so much so that they get bounced before Auburn even gets a chance to see them. So I think most of us would have had Tennessee versus Mississippi State circled on the bingo card. Well, excuse me, Tennessee versus Auburn circled on the bingo card, not Tennessee versus – I keep saying this wrong. Auburn versus Tennessee, not Auburn versus Mississippi State. Third time is the charm. Y'all know what I meant. So – that'll be an interesting matchup. I mean, I think most of us would probably agree that that's going to be the choice you would rather have. I think Tennessee played very poorly, and Mississippi State played above, played a little outkicked the coverage on what they should have done there. Now, here, I mean, this isn't a bad Mississippi State team. Let's not get this twisted here. It's not like this is going to be a gimme game by any stretch of the imagination. You feel better about it than you would if you played Tennessee. Mississippi State basketball. I'm going to double check their net ranking. Mississippi State basketball net. Why don't we search the right thing here? So Mississippi State's net ranking, I mean, they're 41 in the net. Rise up here. And the good news is if they, this continued climb, it makes the game look better if Auburn does indeed beat them tomorrow. Can never have enough quad one wins. And the team, let's go back here. So getting to that matchup now. So this is a team that obviously Auburn lost a disappointing one in Starkville. Very similar to kind of Kentucky, just felt like they were just playing with sand in their shoes. They responded pretty strongly after that. So hopefully it was just really Auburn's three bad games, or just that Mississippi State game, the Florida game, and the Kentucky game, which I think all kind of had a lot of similarities, just playing uncharacteristically bad. And, they weren't particularly close, but as Auburn's had a chance to kind of get the redemption shots, they've shown, obviously, when they played Mississippi State again at home, they won 78-63, won pretty handedly. So hopefully with a neutral court, it goes fairly well for them. The spreads on this game, so let's rewind a little bit. Spreads on South Carolina game, I think it was around 6.5, 7.5 points, depending upon what your books were. The spread for this one, I'm seeing anywhere from 8 points to 9.5 points in Auburn favor. Of course, that is subject to change as the bets start rolling in from Vegas. So it seems to be leaning that the books are starting to see this as a double-digit win for Auburn. By double-digit, I just mean like right around 10 points. Could be more, it could be less. You just want to win them. So Mississippi State has had a few games in a row. Maybe they're a little bit more tired than Auburn is. It's going to be a noon tip-off tomorrow. Auburn was fairly fortunate. They get back early, hopefully get a little bit of rest. So you don't want to be in the situation that Alabama or Florida is in and having to play. This game is probably going to end somewhere closer to 11 and get settled in late and then have to come back early. So hopefully that will bode well for them. And then the winner of this the winner of this Alabama-Florida game, which as it's going right now, is looking very much to be in Florida's favor. There's about 10 minutes left in this game, and Florida still has a pretty substantial lead. Looks like it'll be the winner of Florida and Texas A&M versus the winner of Auburn and Mississippi State. And if all goes to chalk, could be looking to some championship talk Sunday to see who, if Auburn is in the mix, to play for an SEC championship against the winner of that game. Now that'll be an interesting play there, because both of those teams, Auburn has played only one time. Now they played it with A&M, and that was a very interesting game, obviously, earlier in the season at home. big lead, shrunk, kind of got it back. So that game kind of had some real interesting back and forth. I mean, Texas A&M started shooting really, really well. That was the first SEC home game. So you can kind of argue that, you know, with that game being nearly back in, I guess it was January 9th, that the identity of that team could be a lot different. And, of course, you know, they played Florida February 10th, just over a month ago. Gainesville, remember how that game went. But only played both of those teams once, one home, one away. So unlike some of the potential matchups that they ended up facing against Alabama, obviously they'll play with Mississippi State, teams that they've played two times prior, always makes the narrative of that just a little bit more interesting. So that should be the lay of the land for what the remainder of this SEC tournament could and probably will look like. I would bet, and obviously the numbers are leaning that way, that if all goes to chalk, Auburn should beat Mississippi State, but matchup in Tennessee. It looks like Florida will end up beating Alabama. And if that happens, then you should see a Florida versus Texas A&M matchup, which is always interesting just because I don't know what it is, but like this is just Buzz's Super Bowl. He just shows up for the SEC tournament, and it's just what he does. He's an SEC tournament king, and A&M always goes out of nowhere. But you also have to, you know, be careful here because where Auburn has tripped up in the past in these SEC tournaments is when they just get faced with the Cinderella team now. Better to be the Cinderella team than get beat by them, but will Mississippi State be that Cinderella team? Could it potentially be A&M in the finals? Maybe it could be Florida. Your favorites are dropping off a lot faster. So it definitely makes for an interesting storyline there. Now, when A&M and Florida faced off prior, it was a one-point game at A&M, 66-67. Now that is the only time that these teams have played, and that was earlier in the SEC season, so it's really kind of, and obviously both teams, there's been some evolution since then, so it would be really hard. Let's put it this way, that'll be a very interesting matchup, and I'm not going to say I've even got a grasp on who I feel like would win. I would probably lean Florida, just they have been a team that's just been heating up toward the end of the season, even with the trip up for what they did against Vanderbilt. I still feel like they are definitely the team to watch here. So we'll see how that ends up going. Just the last little bit before we conclude this audio-only episode. So thanks, everybody, again for tuning in. And also to just give a little shout-out to our show sponsors here, Plains Coffee. Check them out, plainscoffee.com. We're exhausted here. They're not serving Plains Coffee. I wish they were. I need it. And, of course, the Opelika and Birmingham Rage Room. Auburn has not given me a reason to need a rage room today, which is awesome. Very happy. But I tell you what, there's some other fan bases who absolutely do. So I know Kentucky's not exactly in the direction of Opelika or Birmingham, but I just got a feeling that a lot of these fans need it. Great place. A lot of fun. If you don't know what a rage room is, you should check out their website or social media at Opelika and or Birmingham or rageroom.com. And that's their apps on social media. You get to break stuff. A lot of fun. So check them out. And of course, thank you to them. Both for sponsoring the show. So as we wrap this up, kind of looking at March, despite what's going to happen to the tournament, still looking like Auburn will be floating around that 4 or 5 seed. And they're probably going to be in Spokane, Washington, Salt Lake City, or I believe Pittsburgh was the other location. So long travels for those regions. I think with that being said, if you're going to have hopes, Dallas being the Sweet 16 destination, if you can swing that, obviously, fingers crossed Auburn does make the Sweet 16. But if you look at the advanced stats, there are a lot of good indicators that prove it. You should look at KenPom and other things where they are ranked in offense and defense. And pretty much since what they call the KenPom era, that the teams that are within the threshold of offensive and defensive efficiencies have always won the championship. It's kind of like basketball's version of the blue chip rating. It is just, it has not been wrong yet. Auburn does fall in that category with 10 other teams, which does mean, according to the advanced stats, Auburn is very much a contender. Now, of course, it is March. It is madness. Anything can happen. So, of course, not saying that, oh, you know, put all your chips in the stock. This will 100% go this way. Just chances and history and statistics will tell you it has a better chance than, you know, it has when they don't fall into that or other teams. So, most outlets have Auburn or Tennessee as the two teams in the SEC that can make the run. So regardless of what they do, it's still a good position to be in. It is a huge, I mean, just from what this program even was 10 years ago, it's just absolutely wild that they are just constantly in the national conversation, and just enough can't be said for what Bruce Pearl and the staff has done. But of course, it all is going to go about what region you're in, those one and two seeds that you're going to be matched up with at the top. And I haven't quite thought, we'll do a little bit more of a breakdown maybe a little bit later on when we get closer to that date of which ones we feel good against, because I can't really feel like, you know, a little PTSD from Houston. Of course, Purdue is Purdue. Tennessee is maybe one seed. Maybe that's the one I'm feeling best about, but who knows if they'll end up being there. So we'll talk about all of that after Selection Sunday. Will be tons and tons of content. We'll be back at you again tomorrow. If you're listening to this Saturday, we'll be back with a post-game episode Saturday, talking about whatever happened after that game. So, guys, thank you as always for tuning in. We'll be back at you reporting here live from Bridgestone in Nashville. This is Alex, your host of the Auburn Daily Podcast. Of course, you can support the show. Check out the website, everything the awesome staff is doing at auburndaily.com, naturally. Of course, like, subscribe, leave a review, all that stuff here. Of course, check us out. Subscribe, like, do all the things, notifications. There's lots of buttons to press on YouTube as well. That helps us out a ton, helps us grow. You know, tell somebody, you know, send the link. Hey, this is a cool show, they got good stuff. You know, tell a friend about it. That's going to wrap us up. We'll be back at you again for the, or I guess after the conclusion of Auburn versus Mississippi State.